but happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burden there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Now everybody will be happy over there. Over happy, we'll be so happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises through the never-ending ages. Everybody will be happy over there.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained thy precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplying to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let's see. Good morning. Whether you are a Franklin family member, a visitor, or virtual guest, I am grateful to be here this morning after a wonderful week. Hope everybody have some good food. Grateful that the Lord give us the opportunity to worship Him among those who be the saints. I certainly invite you to open your Bible in the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 22 to 33. And we're going to be spoken about Peter. That's the name of that's the title of the lesson this morning. Let's talk about Peter. When I asked the question among the Spanish brethren about Peter, what you know about Peter? The first thing that came out is he was very impulsive. Even though if he was a fisherman, apparently he didn't know how to swim well. He wasn't a good runner because apparently John beat him the day of the resurrection, because John made it before him. And not just that, he was very impulsive, I mentioned that. And many other things that people pronounce about Peter, and one of the other things that they remember a lot about Peter is that, oh, he denied Jesus, you know. But I asked myself, why the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, give testimony about Peter on the Bible? And the quickest answer that I can have is, he did it because he wants us to learn through Peter's mistakes. He wants us to be edified through Peter's life. And that's the reason why. Let's talk about Peter. Let's talk about Peter so we can be edified through his life, through his mistakes, and how he was able to develop his spiritual life while he was in this journey in this earth. Something that we need to know is that I have a lot of Peter, or most of us have a lot of Peter in us, and probably we don't even realize it. And after this morning, you know, y'all be patient with me so we can go through the scripture and find out what Peter and us have in common. Let's read Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 22 to 33. He say, immediately Jesus made his disciple get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, filled by the wave, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a goat." And they cried out, "Fear." But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command to me, to you, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked out of the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and saying to him, "O you of little faith, what do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son, you are the Son of God." So let's talk about Peter. And one of the first things that we learn, and it's going to be three things that we're going to learn about Peter this morning. And the first thing that we're going to learn about Peter is that our faith in Christ, must be until the end. As we saw, Peter, he started walking in the water, on the water. He asked the Lord, "Lord, if it's you, command me to go to you." And the Lord say, "Come." But he died. Right when he was walking, he died. Many of us, when we first come into Christ, more than knowing the will of God, we come excited, knowing that our sin has been washed away. We're so excited, and we started talking about how good the Lord is. Some of us even say, "Okay, now I can die because I know that I'm heading to heaven." But through this life, when we go into circumstances, when we're going through challenge in life, we started focusing more on the situation. We started focusing more on those problems than what we shall be focused on the Lord. So Peter already see the Lord doing so many miracles. He knew that our Lord, he was the Son of God. He knew that he was capable to do a lot of things that no other man can do. But we see Peter how in doubt, because he focused more on those waves than what he should be focused in our Lord. As I was mentioned before, we now are different than Peter. Because when we're going through tribulations, when we're going through challenges in life, when we're going through some issues, instead of focus in the Lord and his promise to us, we're focusing more on the struggle. We focus more on the situation instead of focusing on the one who capable to do and accomplish everything in our life. So many things, we fear so many things in this life. We fear economic issues. We fear health issues. Sometimes we fear how we can deal with people in our jobs, in church. Sometimes we fear about what we're going to eat tomorrow. Because as Peter, sometimes we're so little of faith. And we forgot the promise of the Lord who say, I'm going to be with you into the end. The Lord always going to comfort. The Lord always going to provide for us. Therefore, our faith must be into the end. This faith that we have with the Lord, this faith, this relationship that we got with our Lord must last into the end. It must not to be just based on emotions. Don't have to be based on how you feel. This faith must be the faith of Christ. Because if we're trying to live this Christian life based on our feeling, based on emotions, it's not going to last long. Because emotions and feeling came from our heart. And the heart lied to us. But if we live this faith based on the will of God, if we live this faith based on the faith of Christ, this faith gonna last into the end. So, but it's another scenario that I want us to see this morning concerning to this lesson that we went through. And it was the condition. And it's something that many people don't think about when they read this verse of the Bible. So verse 24 say, but the boat was in the middle of the sea. Once we come into Christ, we live in this world. But we got to remember that we are not from this world. The other scenario is that the wave and the wind, it was contrary. Just imagine this scenario. Sometimes we read, but we don't think about the scenario and everything that went through. Verse 25 say that the time, it was between 3 to 6 a.m. That was the time when this situation was occurring. So you probably been on a cruise ship, or let's not go too far away. I don't know if you went to the Lake Pontchartrain when it's in its higher moment. You can see those waves, and you can't believe that that lake that you normally see all calm, all of a sudden it's coming over the road. So just imagine that scenario. It was a lot of things on that night. There was fatigue. There was a lot of stress on that boat. They was probably hungry, a lot of stress, desperation. They was sleeping. They was afraid, panic, and it was a less visibility. Just imagine so. It was a lot of things going on in that boat on that night. But in the middle of that circumstances, that was something that Peter said that we must to say every time that we find ourselves in situations and struggling. Verse 27, Peter say, verse 27, the Lord spoke to them saying, be of good. Something that we got to remember is even on the worst circumstances of our life, even when we suffering death, disease, cancer, even when we lose a loved one, either family member or a friend, we got to remember that our Lord is with us. He's always there to comfort us and give us what we need spiritually. We got to remember that. Verse 27, the Bible says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Even when we think that we're alone, let's remember that he with us, that he's there. That's the reason why, my brothers and sisters, and this morning, I encourage you to remember that our faith must last until the end. In the middle of all the circumstances, as I was saying before, Peter, the one we're talking about, y'all with me? He asks a question. And it's something that we have to do when we find ourselves in the circumstances. Peter says, verse 28, if it's you, command me to go to you. Instead of looking at an answer for ourselves and instead of looking for a solution for ourselves, and so in those difficult moments, we have to go to the Lord and spoke to the Lord. And he's going to show us that he is with us. Even though we all this stuff that we can talk about and say about Peter, Peter, in the middle of the situation, while he was hungry, while he was afraid, while he was tired, while he was stressed, while he was in the middle of panic, while he was in a situation with less visibility, while he was hungry, he knew who to go to. And when he heard the voice of the Lord, he felt that he would be more safe right next to the Lord than while he was in that boat. And just imagine the wave that was high. The wind, it was contrary. The visibility, it was less because it was from 3 to 6 a.m. But Peter, he had a faith. Not as a big faith, but he had a faith enough to step off the boat and walk in the sea because he knew that the Lord was there. So when we're going through tribulations, when we're going through difficulties in our life, what we do? Let's learn from Peter. Let's learn from Peter. But our faith, instead of be little, let's our faith be until the end, knowing that the Lord can save us, that the Lord can protect us, that the Lord can comfort us. That's the first thing that we must learn when we talk about Peter. We gotta remember that in this world we will go through some things, tribulations, difficulties. Not just from the outsiders, but from the insiders. We're gonna have some issues in the church. Sister, you're going to have some issues with your husband. Should I mention brothers? Yeah. We're going to be challenged by our wives. But we got to remember, we must remember that our faith in the Lord, the obedience into the will of God must remain into the end. Revelation 2:10, the Bible says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you might be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. And these 10 days, if you have been married for 20, 30, 40 years, don't think that it's going to be just 10 days, because the book of Revelation is just symbolic. See, this tribulation must be complete. Yeah. If y'all don't believe me, ask my wife. Probably those 10 days already I have been expired. Every year, she probably has to live with me for more than 20. But for 10 days. The tribulation is complete. And we must use every circumstance, every challenge to ask ourselves how I can glorify God. When situations, death, accidents, sickness come to our life, we must ask ourselves how I can practice that faith that has been given to me through the Word of God. First thing that we learn from Peter is that our faith must last into the end. Let's continue talking about Peter and what we can learn from him. The second thing that we can learn when we talk about Peter is our confession must be even on the most difficult times. Y'all remember Matthew 16, verse 16? When the Lord asked his disciple, "Who y'all say that I am?" "Who?" Peter say. Simon Peter answered, Matthew 16, 16, and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living, God." Yeah. He don't doubt who Jesus was. And it's so easy to confess Christ while we in the church, while you are surrounded with brothers and sisters, while we praying, singing, and have a Christian reading. It's easy to confess because that's what we do. Not just we with our words, but how we conduct ourselves. It's easy to do so while are in church because we don't have to be afraid to be judged. You know? Contrary, it's good when I see Sister Banks, right? Well-dressed and, you know, singing. When I heard Sister Colin singing, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we salute each other, we're confessing Christ. But what about when we out there, when we be in places that we're not supposed to be, surrounded with people that, they're not a good influence. Let's remember who was around Peter when he confessed and Jesus, he was the Christ, the Son of God. He was surrounded with Andrew, James, Phillips, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Levius, Simon, and Judah. There was all the disciples of Christ. And it was so easy for him to say, "Yeah, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But let's see another scenario. Go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Verse 69 to 75. Jesus had been apprehended, and there's Peter. Peter. Now Peter, 26:69, sat outside of the courtyard, and servant girl, come to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he what? He denied. Yeah. Before all saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to the who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth," but again he denied it. And now, with a different tongue. "I don't know that man." And a little later, those who stood by come up and say to Peter, "Certainly you also one of them, for your speech betray you." Then he began doing what? When he confessed that Jesus was the Christ, Peter felt like he was the lion. Because he was surrounded by the disciples. The Lord was there. Man, Peter feel like he was, "Yeah, you're the Christ, the Son of God." But now we see Peter in a different scenario. Now he feel like he's a chihuahua. He can't say that no more. How are we doing with that? All right, Brother Colin? When we get tempted, when we get the opportunity to do things that we're not supposed to be doing, are we still confess that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Lord in our life, in our decisions? When we get tempted by social media, when we get offered drinks and beers and things like that, are we still confess that Jesus is the Christ in our life, that he's the Son of God? When the temptation comes to our life to take something that don't belong to us, are we still confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? The light of Christ still reflect in us? When I got the right and the opportunity to act, certain kind of way that don't reflect Jesus, I still decide to reflect Jesus and confess with my life, with my attitude, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When I got to choose and decide what to wear, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? I still confess with the way I conduct myself, the way I talk, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I mean, it's easy to dress well and act well among the disciples, among my brothers and sisters, but how I act behind my closed door in my house, I still confessing Christ, showing my wife that Christ is the Son of God. Sister, showing your husbands and your kids that Christ lives in you. It's easy to do over here. But our confession is not just because before baptism, our confession that Christ is the Son of God living in us must to be and gotta be even in the most more difficult times. Yeah. Peter, he wasn't surrounded by the disciples. He was surrounded by the high priest, those who went and arrested Jesus. And this reminds me of Paul chapter 22, verse 12. See? "Many bulls have compassed me. A strong bull of Basan have beset me around." Peter was surrounded around. Our Lord Jesus was there. And now he don't feel like a lion no more. As I mentioned before, he feel like a little chihuahua. Our brothers and sisters in the first century, they had to choose two choices. Either If you blaspheme and deny your faith, you're not concerned your life. But if you confess, you're gonna be dead. Probably a lot of self-called Christian nowadays will be, they won't be a Christian today for this situation. But let's continue talking about Peter. We already learned two things from Peter. The first one is that our faith must last until the end. The second one is that our confession must be even on the most difficult times. Because sometimes our relationship with the Lord is depend on how he blesses us, you know. It's depend on how I feel. Sometimes it's depend on what he get me. But it's so hard to do it when I lost a loved one. It's hard to do it when I'm going through difficulties economically. It's hard to do it when there is argument at home. Sometimes just because the husband says something the wife don't like, she don't even want to know nothing about Christ. She don't even want to know nothing about the Holy Spirit. She not just met with the husband, but she also met a God. You know, because she don't feel right. Yeah, I'm not willing to confess right now. I'm not ready to go and sing the Lord. But our confession must be into the end. Third thing that we learn when we talk about Peter is when we learn from our mistakes, we can be useful in the kingdom of God. Matthew 16 chapter, verse 21 to 23. Bible says, from the time that Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chiefs, priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised of the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. It shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind from me, who? Satan. Yeah. So we must deal even with ourselves in these circumstances. So we saw Peter's intention. It wasn't as bad as we can think. He don't want to see the Lord going through all his suffering. And sometimes our intention can be good to some advice that we provide in church. Yeah. Oh, brother, why are you still dealing with that woman? Come on, man. You don't deserve that. Maybe the Lord, he's giving you the strength to be able to gain patience with the wife that you have. But there is Brother Colin trying to advise you to lead the woman. Maybe Brother Colin don't want to see you suffering no more. And I'm just using that as a sample, Brother Colin. Don't catch me on side later on. Yeah. Because the only way that we can get patient is through tribulation. And be careful when you pray and ask the Lord for patience, because many of us pray the Lord and ask him to give us patience. And when the Lord has his way to give us patience. You know, and it's through tribulations. That means more patience you ask for. Yeah, be ready. And don't be like, why me, Lord? Yeah, you asking for rain, you got to deal with the mud. Sometimes there is some of our brothers or sisters that are going through some sickness, and man, just stay home, you know. Yeah, the intention is good because you want to see your brother well rest and get well. And I always preach and talk about this with the Spanish community. All right, if a brother or sister are sick, yeah, he deserves to be, you know, get well. But, you know, call for prayer, and the church is praying for the sister, for the brother. Yeah, I call next day, Monday morning, sister is working. But I thought you were sick. Yeah, I'm sick, I'm still sick, but I had to come to work. I don't know, you were sick. Not to go to church, but you're still sick, but you're still going to work. You lost the opportunity to be edified. Not just that, you lost the opportunity to encourage your brother and your sister to the love and the good work. But you working. Don't get me wrong, not in every case, there is brothers and sisters who are dealing with some issues right now that they can't even be moved. But just be careful when you mention, yeah, you stay home. It's better for you staying home. Oh, you don't have to do this. Let other people do it. You know, let Brother Reed cut the grass outside the church. You don't know how to cut grass anyway. Sometimes those advice come into the church. But that just is stopping you to serve the Lord. Don't teach no class, man. Leave that to Brother Banks. Brother Banks is good at it. So, you know, you get nervous anyway like a Brother Baptiste when you get on the pulpit. That's kind of like a, yeah, good advice. Yeah, let's Brother Bank do that. But no, come and get nervous. You know, get ready with a class to share with the brothers, with the sisters. Learn from your mistakes to edify the church. We can be useful in the kingdom. Use all your experience, use all your tribulation, everything that you've been through, and then the Lord help you to get out of it, to edify the church. Because it's so many things that I cannot talk about to edify the church. But if you already went through, you're the right person to do it. See? It was until this month that I can truly spoke about the feeling of loss our father. But many of y'all lost a loved one already. Y'all can comfort those who are going through those things. Maybe some of y'all, brothers and sisters, already dealing with cancer. And the Lord help you to go through. You can comfort those who are going through the situation right now. Y'all want to have a knee replacement surgery? Yeah, y'all can talk to Brother Reed. He got that. But I can spoke about that. Yeah. Sometimes we got to realize that we're going through some struggles and situations in our life, but we're so focused on the tribulation, we're so focused on the tribulation, and we don't take the time to ask ourselves why the Lord allowed him those things in our life. And I want to tell you this morning that the Lord allowed things in our life so we can be able to edify others, so we can be able to comfort others. Yeah. Sometimes things come in our life, circumstances come in our life, so we can gain experience to edify the church. We can talk about Peter all day long. But man, it's amazing when we read like Acts chapter 2. That Peter that was all afraid, he is 10. In front of all his Jews the day of Pentecostal. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter stood up with the 11, raising his voice and saying to them, "Men of the Judea and all the well of Jerusalem, let it be known that you and help me with that." He wasn't afraid anymore. Yeah, after he cried and recognized who he was, he's not afraid anymore. After chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter, upon his mouth, opened his mouth and say, "It is true, right with the Gentiles." People that he couldn't stand before. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 1. "The elder who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow." Elder Peter? Elder? Really? He wasn't just scary. A lot of mistakes, impulsive, don't know how to swim well, even if, though if he was a fisherman. He wasn't a good runner. And there he is trying to give advice to the Lord not to do the will of the Father. Imagine if the Lord would listen to Peter's advice not to go to Jerusalem and suffer the crucifixion, where you and I will be now and day. But there it is, Peter, elder. And as we read the Bible, we're going to find out that through he let himself used by the Lord, a lot of Jews and Gentiles was converted to Christ. So we learned three things this morning, my brothers and sisters. First thing is that our faith must lessen to that. Second, our confession with our life, with our attitude, the way we conduct ourselves, our confession must be until the most difficult times. And three, is that when we learn from mistakes, we can be useful in the kingdom of God to his glory. My dear friend, if you are here this morning, what you can learn from Peter is what he said to those Jews on the day of Pentecost. You got to learn and know that your condition with God is not good at all. But you can learn, as Peter mentioned, there is one way of salvation, and it's through Christ. But you must repent, and you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, so you can be added to the church of Christ. The invitation is open, and we stand, and we send this invitation out.
Let us haste, oh, haste to his brim. 'Tis the of love from the source of love, and he bids us all freely dream. Will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain.
Good morning. Today's response cards, Sister Annie McQuieter is asking for spiritual strength and traveling grace, asking for prayers for traveling grace for her grandchildren and their dad. Coming from Brookhaven, Mississippi, and continued prayers for her family. Y'all pray for my wife, Mary. She's asking for spiritual strength and thanksgiving. She says, thank you for the love, support, and acceptance. I am truly grateful to have been welcomed into this family. Please keep me in your prayers. Sister Lazonda Hall, asking for traveling grace for Kimberly, Nolan, and Daniel coming back home today, and for Logan returning to Baton Rouge today. Brother Reed asking for prayers for health-related reasons and Thanksgiving. It says, good morning, church family. I'm thankful, grateful, and praising God for blessing me through the knee replacement. I'm just past 2 weeks. Thank you for all of your prayers. I love you, my brothers and sisters. Sonia Silvey is asking for traveling grace. Sister Chanel Cook is asking for spiritual strength and traveling grace and thanksgiving. Good morning, Franklin family. Please keep my beautician, Jackie Alford, in prayer. She lost her dad, as well as a coworker I used to work with, Antoinette William, lost her mother. Brother Collins is asking for prayers for bereavement. He says, please pray for my brother and the Collins family and the loss of his daughter, Tara Collins, on Thanksgiving Day. So pray for the Collins family. And Clifton Thomas is asking for spiritual strength, and he also is asking to place a membership. So Clifton Thomas, mark that category on the card there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you for waking us up today, bringing us here to glorify you, to worship you this morning on this wonderful day. We ask that as we seek you for guidance, as we seek you for strength, and as we seek you for holiness, that we do not waver, that our faith does not waver as we continue to walk this earth as Christians, as it be your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper,
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
We are now setting time aside for the Lord's Supper, remembering him for his death and sacrifices for us. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. And it reads, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for the ultimate sacrifice that you have made for us. Again, we continue to ask for prayers and for those who need your guidance, need your strength, and we just ask that you watch over us as we walk this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For collection, you are able to provide money for collection before or after the service, so you can place your finances in this box here. We are going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for the finances that have been brought forth to continue to support this facility, this church, that we can come here each Sunday to glorify you and worship you. And we ask that the money here and the finances here are used accordingly and effectively and accurately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Let all that we do be done for the glory of God. Amen. I want to say that it's good for us to be here in the presence of God. We might worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm indeed encouraged by those who have been visitors with us over the past. I don't have any visitors calls with me, but if there are any visitors here right now, we want to recognize you, that we might embrace you with our hearts as well as with our arms, so that you know that you're welcome into our fellowship as well. I don't have any visitors calls, but any visitors that are here might want to be recognized. We can do that at this particular point in time. I also want to say that on this week, we baptized Sister Raina. I don't know what's how you say Raina's last name? Kanoya. Yeah, they're engaged to be married. It's wonderful. Brother James Araya. But I can't call her Araya yet. But we baptized her into Christ, so she does have a new name. Before Araya, she's become a member of the body of Christ. She accepted Christ, and we baptized her on this particular week. And what a grand excitement that gave each and every one of us who were present. And of course, I know that y'all are happy as well for that as well. I am prayerful that each one of us had a wonderful time with their families on this Thanksgiving day, and that you ate well, and that the food, the fun, and the fellowship was something that could be treasured from that day on to the future. Memories are a wonderful thing that God has given to us. Let us remember, though, that God died for each and every one of us, and he calls us to the salvation that he's prepared for us. Remember, he hadn't prepared salvation for anybody else except his saints. So let's be prepared and be on Team Jesus, because our team is going to win inevitably in the end. We already have the victory. God has promised us that as well. I want to also say that those of us who are steady praying for families that have gone through bereavement and going through trying times and sickness and illnesses, I want to say thank you on my behalf as well as their behalf as well. Again, there are some people who have been sick for quite some time, even had surgeries, and we're grateful that the congregation has come together to pray for those that they might be healed. Also, I want to thank you for your love from each and every member of this congregation, because our motto is that we are a Bible-believing, loving congregation. Let us continue to do so as God grants us his grace and mercy. Thank you all. Have a good weekend.
Let's all stand for the closing of our song and prayer.
They're your neck, right? You're the head, but they're the neck, right? Brother Clifton just placed membership with us this morning.
Amen.
He was formerly a member of the Church of Christ in Virginia. And now I want to tell you that this brother drives all the way from La Place, Louisiana every Sunday to be with us. So let's embrace him as well and welcome him to our congregation. Thank you.
Amen.
Anything else, Sister Collins?
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives, that my Redeemer lives. Father God, we thank you ever so much for your word and the man of God that stood before us to preach unto us about Peter. Continue to let that sermon be the start of this new week in our lives, that we may not deny Christ as we walk through the days of this week. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring us, Father God, and yesterday is gone. As we continue to prepare our minds for the first day of this week, let us all be in attitude of thanksgiving. Be with those that have been baptized, Father God. Bless their walk, Father God, and bless us to help them make a better choice in their lives as they continue to embrace your love and your support of the Holy Spirit going through their journey. Father God, be with those that do not understand our religious conviction. We trust and pray, Father God, that the word that was spoken will prick their hearts and have them mind to change. And for those that within the body, Father God, we continue to strengthen us where we're weak and build us where we're torn. As we go into the first of this week, Father God, bless all our efforts, bless the thing that we think, bless the thing that we do. All that we have, all that we receive, and all that we give, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.